Just as we start, what are you taking back to university from this weekend? Just turn back into groups. What are you going to take away from this weekend? What do you want to remember? What we take back to uni from this weekend is really important. As you go back into the rest of your year, we really want things you've learnt this weekend to go with you. Is it because we've spent time and effort on this weekend? Well, we did, but that's not primary. Is it because we want more of you to come on the next weekend away next year? Oh, we'd love that, but that's not why. The reason why is because remembering what we've learnt this weekend is going to keep us going. And it's going to keep us going because of the big truth here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And that big truth is this: we are in a battle. Paul reminds the Ephesians, and he tells us here too, we are in a war and we're on the front line. Have a look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. As Paul winds up this letter, thinks about licking the envelope, begins to locate the stamps, he closes by reminding the Ephesians to be strong in the Lord. As he signs off, he ties everything in this letter together by saying, find your strength in God's might. If we're going to continue to live differently, remember that's our tagline for this weekend, we need to remember how to do it. Now, it could be easy to think this is simply saying, brace yourself, you're on your own now. But if you look carefully, it's all about who God is. In fact, you should translate this, be made strong in the Lord and his mighty power. As you return to university off the back of this weekend, that is the thing to do. To remember who God is and remember what God has done. Remember what we've seen in Ephesians, to be made strong in that. To find strength in his mighty power. How do we do that then? Well, firstly, we put on God's armour. Have a look at verses 11 to 13. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Let's just go back into smaller groups for a moment there. If you were to summarise what Paul is saying in that paragraph, what would he be saying? Well, he's saying put on the full armour of God, isn't he? You can see that command repeated twice there. Verse 11 and verse 13. Put on the full armour of God. That is what we need to do as we go back to university. But what does it mean? I mean, I've heard so many talks where people say, put it on, but they don't actually explain what it means. Let's not have that happen again this weekend, shall we? Well, firstly, to understand this, we need to look at what the armour defends against. Verse 11, the armour means we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, against the devil's techniques, against the lie that we've seen all this weekend. The warped mirrors, the ringleader, the divider. If we're going to do all of that, we need this armour. It can be really tempting to think that this war, this battle, is against people here and now. The student union, who won't allow you to do your CU event this year. Oh, not another marquee. The politician who's trying to shut down free speech. The lecturer who just laughs at you for being a Christian. But this war is far bigger than that. It is, verse 12, not against flesh and blood. Instead, it is a spiritual battle. That is, an invisible battle, but one that is immensely real. It is, verse 12, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in their heavenly realms. You see, that is who wants you to fail. That is who wants you to give up, to move, to budge, to be knocked around. But that's also who God's power has already defeated. Do you remember chapter 1? When Christ was raised, he was raised from the dead and seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Those spiritual forces, they have nothing on what God has done. And that is where this passage places the focus. Remember verse 10? Be made strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget the power that God has for the church. Don't forget that Christ is already reigning and nothing is going to stop that. But the other bit to get is that this is a fight. Or to use the word from verse 12, this is a struggle. That word struggle there is used for hand-to-hand combat, wrestling. It's close quarters. It is one-on-one. What do these powers want to do? Well, they want you to give up on what you know about God. What Ephesians has been retraining us to see. These powers, they want to put those warped mirrors back together, put them back in place. They want to make you give up on Jesus, give up on the gospel. As we've seen, the gospel, knowing your identity in Christ, enables all those good things to happen that we saw in chapter 4. Then of course the devil is going to want the opposite. Of course he's going to want to work through his minions to prevent that from happening. I mean, no wonder the Christian life is hard. How easy it is to give up on understanding God's word, to stop putting the effort in. I don't know about you. Have you ever had this? You start to read God's word and then you just find the distractions suddenly appear more than ever. It's a battle. It's a battle to know Jesus. But the good news is that God arms you for the conflict, not just by giving you stuff to do, but giving you the armour that's already been shown successful. In fact, the very armour that Jesus himself had. Let's go back into groups for a moment. When do you find it hardest to remember your Christian identity? When do you find it hardest to remember your Christian identity? There are all sorts of times that we can find it hard. Those things we've just mentioned. It'd be good to think, how can I address that thing I've just mentioned, as I go back to uni? But the best way to address them, the way to address them is to put on this armour. We're still answering what this armour is. Don't worry if you feel like you've missed it. Paul's going to get to that now. That's verses 14 to 20. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. I mean, that armour, it sounds impressive, doesn't it? It sounds powerful. And as we've said, that is the armour of Jesus. The armour of Jesus that he's shown successful already. And it's all gospel armour. Just notice how each bit of this armour is gospel related. First, it is the belt of truth buckled round your waist. The truth in Ephesians is the gospel. The truth versus the lie. The truth that shattered those warped mirrors back in chapter 1. The truth that comes from being alive, being made alive in chapter 2. The truth from chapter 4 that enables you to live as God intended. Fasten that around your waist. The breastplate of righteousness in place. That breastplate, it comes from being made right with God. That's what righteousness is, being made right with God. That comes because Jesus died the perfect death in our place, so that before God Almighty, we are seen as right. We are friends with God again. We no longer stand as his enemy. Shoes fitted with readiness, coming from the gospel of peace. Shoes that are ready to take that gospel message out into the world. As we arm ourselves up with God's truth, we are arming ourselves up to share that truth. As we speak to our friends, our classmates, our family about the truth. As we seek to tell them the reality that really is. Taking up the shield of faith, the shield of the faith. Knowing that the gospel is enough. That in the gospel, everything you need to stand against the evil one is there. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, the one who paid for all my sin. There's no more to pay. See, as you're reminded you're not good enough, when you're reminded that you've messed up, well, you hold that shield up, you hold that gospel close, and you say that Jesus has done everything. Taking the helmet of salvation Or you could say the helmet of being saved. The helmet that comes from the cross, knowing that on the cross, Jesus bought every spiritual blessing. That we are saved, we have salvation to live with him and for him. And the weapon, the offensive tool here, the sword of the Spirit, what is that? We're told here, aren't we? The sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. The word of God that tells the gospel. The word of God that tells us Christ is reigning over everything. Tells us of Satan's demise. Tells us of the way things really are. Put on that gospel of, that armour of the gospel. Of that good news we've seen this week. Let's just underline that. Let's make sure we've made that clear. Paul says to stand firm in the war, to stand firm as you go back to university, you need to buckle, to place, to fit, to take up, to take, or to put that armour on. You need to clothe yourself with the gospel, immerse yourself in the gospel. You've taken off those old clothes, remember? The things you can't believe you once wore, and now you put the gospel on in its place. And you need to pray as well. Do you see that verse 18? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, it means this. It means pray in light of the gospel. Pray in light of the gospel that God has revealed to you. That God has revealed to you through the Spirit. That is what Paul prayed, wasn't it? Back in chapter 1, verse 17. Pray in the Spirit who gives access to the Father. That's chapter 2, verse 18. Pray to God who lives in you by his Spirit. That's chapter 2, verse 22. Pray for yourself that you'd be reminded, that you would know, that you remember these things. And let me tell you this, the Spirit would love to do that for you. The Bible says that is what he wants to do. So take him up on it. And don't just pray for yourself, pray for others too. You're not a sole fighter in this battle. We are in this battle together. So pray for all the saints, that's Christians. Pray for all Christians. Pray that all Christians, everyone you know, would fight the battle well. Pray for each other here. Pray that you would proclaim that good news to others. Pray for boldness as you go back and as you carry on going forwards. Let's just take a moment there. Turn back into those groups. What could you do to encourage yourself and encourage others this week in light of what we've seen? There we go. I've kept my promise. We've seen what the armour is. Tick. But how do you put it on? It's not an armour that I physically put on every day. It's not like my pair of trousers that I have to get on every day. No, the way to put this armour on is to immerse yourself in the truth. To immerse yourself in the gospel. To preach to yourself day by day. To sing that gospel with good songs. To speak that gospel, that truth, to one another regularly. What does that look like for you as students? That looks like going to equip. That looks like meeting up together. That looks like being part of a local church. That looks like taking every opportunity to hear the gospel message. To put yourself under good, faithful, true Bible teaching. To hear more and more of the great truths of the gospel. To hear reality as it really is. I'd encourage you to take these notes from Ephesians you've made this week and go over them again. Read the bits of Ephesians that we've not managed to cover this weekend. In fact, find someone to do it with. Pick someone right here, right now, and agree to read Ephesians with them. Set a reminder on your phone. Go on, do it now. Set a reminder of your phone of something you want to be reminded of from this weekend. Set it off to go next week sometime. Perhaps even set it up as a repeated reminder. Perhaps every week from now on. Something you want to remember. And when that reminder goes off, text it to someone else here too. Even text it to Naomi over there. She needs that gospel encouragement as much as the rest of us here. I'd say text it to me, but safeguarding. You don't have my number. But I need this gospel encouragement too. Every Christian needs encouragement, and you're in a position to give it to someone else. You see, the Christian life, it's a battle. The Christian life is a struggle. There are many things going to try and knock ourselves off course, but we have the strength we need. We have the armour of the warrior king. We have the power of God who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And that same power is at work for us today who believe. So my final words to you as I leave you for this weekend away, keep going. As Paul says here, stand firm.